ومن تقرب إلي شبرا تقربت إليه ذراعا، ومن تقرب إلي ذراعا تقربت إليه باعا، وإذا أقبل إلي يمشي أقبلت إليه وهرول. متفق عليه. وهذا لفظ إحدى روايات مسلم، وتقدم شرعه في الباب قبله، وروي في الصحيحين وأنا معه حين يذكرني بالنون، وفي هذه الرواية حيث بالثاء، وكلاهما صحيح. Continuing with the hadith, we began the discussion yesterday. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we mentioned, this is hadith Qudsi, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as we mentioned yesterday, in such a hadith, Allah's sunnat, the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the principles based on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with these slaves are enunciated and explained in such a hadith, which is why they take on such significance and importance, and it is important for us to note the subject matter of these ahadith. This first statement, we elaborated quite a bit on it yesterday, where Allah ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي, I treat my servant according to his expectations from me. What you expect and hope for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala treats you accordingly. As we mentioned yesterday, Allama Qurtubi rahimullah says this particularly applies to dua, to tawbah, to istighfar. If we have positive expectations from Allah ta'ala, a person has faith in his heart, when I make dua, when I make tawbah, when I make istighfar, Allah is accepting it, then Allah Ta'ala deals with him accordingly. However, if he is prone to negativity, always has misgivings, display signs of despair, then Allah Ta'ala says, as you expect from me, I deal with you. In fact, another hadith clearly teaches us this sabak. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Amar Allah ta'ala bi 'abdin ila an-nar, falamma waqafa 'ala shafiriha iltafata wa qala." Then on the day of judgment there will be a person, Allah ta'ala will command that this person should be taken to Jahannam. Obviously, because of his misdeeds, he did not die on tawbah, etc. So this person will be taken, according to the hadith, waqafa ala shafiriya, right till the brink of Jahannam. When Jahannam is in front of him, last gasp, this person will pass a remark, ama wa ya rabbi, in kana dhanni bika la hasan. He will lament, he will be in despair. And in his despair, he will say that, ya Allah, I didn't expect this from you. In kana dhanni bika hasan. My zan, my expectations from you were good, that you would forgive me, you would be merciful to me. Such is the effect of one's expectations, one's zan that one hands with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى رُدُّوهُ أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي. Allah ta'ala will say to the angels that, take him out of Jahannam, don't let him enter into Jahannam, take him to Jannat, because I deal with my slave as he expects from me. So in other words, he had husnul zan, he had good expectations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with him accordingly. So it's very, very important, our attitude towards Allah ta'ala. Like I mentioned yesterday, I'm reiterating, in this coronavirus or this trial or tribulations that we are going through, if a person wakes up every morning expecting that the worst is going to happen to him, then that will happen. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I deal with you as you expect from me. If you wake up with this yaqeen conviction, I read Fajr Salah with Jamaat, I'm in the protection of Allah Ta'ala. I read my Bismillah, Alladhi la yadurru ma'asmi, Shayun fil ardi wa la fis sama wa sami'ul alim. I read Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdi, these little wazaif that are taught to us from the ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We read it with conviction. Allama Qurtubi says this applies to your conviction in your du'as, in your tawbah, in your istighfar, what du'a you are making, what wazaif you are doing. If we have this conviction, then what is ordained is in its place. But 9 times out of 10, Allah Ta'ala will deal with us according to our expectation. When it comes to zan, this word zan literally translated, as we translated in the context, ana inda dhanni abdi bi, I deal with my slave as his expectations. This word zan, some ulama say in these contexts, biman al yaqeen, it carries the meaning not of zan. Zan, like we said, means carry, there's an, it's a lighter word. In Arabic you have dhan and then you have yaqeen. Literally translated, zan means a doubt or a supposition or one's leaning. And yaqeen means absolute conviction. So some ulama say that here the word zan is used, but it biman al yaqeen. In other words, what your conviction about Allah Ta'ala is, accordingly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you. And this is very, very important, that we have positive expectations about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in Sharia, dhan and expectations that we have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ulama ikram say, are categorized into four types of dhan. One is what we call that which is wajib, that which is compulsory, that every person has this dhan and expectation about Allah ta'ala, it is wajib that we have that. And what is that? Husnul dhan. To have good hopes, to have good expectations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many ulama categorize this as wajib, as compulsory, as we will see from the next hadith. The importance of leaving this world with good expectations upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next type of zan, ulama ikram say, is that which is haram, completely prohibited. What is that zan? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala commands Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Quran, that tell them that, O my slaves that have transgressed upon their souls, come before me with a mountain of sins, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. So it is haram, forbidden, to have su'uz and to have negative expectations about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there is, in fact, Allah Ta'ala, like we said, so in the hadith which we mentioned earlier, this person at husnul zan, he was safe from Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, those who had negative expectations about Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That your negative expectations, your belief that Allah Ta'ala doesn't know what you are doing, etc. Allah Ta'ala says, these people's incorrect zan ardaakum brought them to ruin and destruction. So this is completely forbidden, to have su'zan, to have bad expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there is a third type of zan, which ulama ikram say is mustahab. That is, what is this? This is in dealing with one another. You come into contact with people that apparently and outwardly they show that they have your goodness in their heart. To unnecessarily doubt them is incorrect. Deal with people on the zahir, on that which is apparent. Don't dig too much into what possible nefarious or negative goals or ambitions the person may have. May have a plot against me, etc. If you're going to have that kind of suspicion about every person you come into contact with, it will be very difficult to live in life. So this is mustahab, that when a person outwardly is showing that he has good intentions towards you, then accept it. Don't dig too deep. And then there is the fourth type of zan, which ulama ikram say, su'zan, a negative zan, but this type is permissible. In other words, mubah. What is that? Is your dealings with a person who already has spoiled his name. Sometimes you have people that they did certain wrongs in the past. So tuhmat, accusation has already been leveled against them. So if somebody has a bad financial reputation and he comes to you with a financial proposition, or he wants to borrow money from you, etc., and you have a bad thought about him beforehand, listen, this person, I can't trust him. this type of negative thought about a person who has already tarnished his reputation, Ulama Ikram says this is mabah, this is permissible. Even though outwardly now he may be showing himself to have reformed, etc., for you to doubt such a person will be permissible. Nevertheless, coming back to the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that Allah Ta'ala says, Ana inda dhanni abdi bi, I deal with my slave as he expects from me, wa ana ma'ahu haythu yadhkuruni, and I am with him. Allah says, I am with him whenever he remembers me. We find that this hadith is mentioned with two words, hina yadhkuruni and haythu yadhkuruni. Little slight difference in the meaning. Ana ma'ahu hina yadhkuruni, wherever he remembers me or whenever he remembers me. I am with him wherever he remembers me or whenever he remembers me. Now when we find these expressions in ahadith, Allah Ta'ala says, I am with you. I am very, very near to you. This type of qurb or nearness, we do not take it as literal. That because Allah Ta'ala's zaat, Allah's being is free of coming and going, being near and far, etc. These type of things, these limitations, we attach it to the makhluk, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is above all this. So normally ulama ikram interpret this, ana ma'ahu, I am with him, birrahmati, wa tawfiq, wa li'anati, wa nusr. I am with him, in other words, my mercy is with him. My tawfiq is with him. My help is with him. The hidden system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is put in the favor of this person. Who? One who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is very, very important for us to be constantly in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever and whenever. Wherever and whenever, to be at all times, to be in the dhikr. حَيْثُ يَذْكُرُنِي. Remember Allah, Allah remembers you. And Allah Ta'ala remembers you in a gathering which is better than the gathering in which you remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And previously we mentioned this, one effective, very effective means to always be in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to read the masnoon du'as of the various occasions. Just now we entered the masjid. How many entered with the right foot? How many read the du'a when we entered the masjid? Just now we will leave the masjid. Again, with the left foot, reading the masnoon du'a that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. We made wudu earlier. There are certain masnoon du'as in wudu. We put on our clothes, there are certain masnoon du'as. Many of us this morning would have relieved ourselves before we entered the toilet, when we left the toilet. Every moment, every changing circumstance, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a du'a. And this is more virtuous at that time to read that du'a that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us than to even take a tasbih and remember Allah Ta'ala. Because that is a higher form of zikr. And by learning the masnoon du'as attached to the various occasions, what will happen? We will always be counted amongst the zakirin, those who are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is a very, very effective form of zikr. And from this hadith, we learn the great benefit. What is the benefit? Allah's rahmat will always be with us. Allah's tawfiq will be with us. Allah's protection will be with us. Person left his house this morning. Person, every one of us left our homes this morning. If when we left that house, we said, Bismillahi, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How long does it take? Few seconds. Great dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Bismillahi, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In the name of Allah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, I place my trust upon Allah Ta'ala. There is no power.